again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Color Podcast for the 18th of September, 2019. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Action-packed. Lots of stories to get to. Last 2 days, we've been kind of focused on one particular story for most of the show. Provided my mouth doesn't get away with me or I don't go off on a rant on any particular issue, we should cover a lot of ground today because there's a lot of stories that deserve some attention, some love, if you will. We'll get to all of them. Thank you for sharing, listening, telling a friend, posting on social media, writing and reviewing and rating on iTunes, all that good stuff. A couple of you have written, I can't remember the name of the program, but you it used to be on some platform for Android, and now it's not available. If that's the case, let me know, because I have an iPhone. I'm a full-blown Apple nut, so I don't know if it disappears or there's other technical issues on other platforms. So I appreciate the heads up. The email to do that and complain and whatever you got else to say is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Do that 24-7, 365. I will read it and likely respond myself. People are always emailing me, I'm so surprised you wrote back. Like, well, who else would do it? There's no one of the cats. If you're getting emails not from me, from my account, it's the cats or the kids. And if they're better writers than me, I'm going to be pissed. Not going to be surprised, but I'm going to be pissed. Also, if you want to enter to win a signed copy of Open Borders, Inc. by Michelle Malkin, you have the I'm setting the deadline. The deadline is Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just because thinking, I don't know, if I change my mind, I'll update it. But get it in by then. I've got an interview scheduled on vaping this week. So it's going to be a recorded Thursday. And I want to consider getting it, do the drawing on the show. But we shall see. You never know. Sometimes I forget. So got a lot going on. But anyway, the deadline, unofficially, hard as of this moment, is 11 a.m. Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, if you want to enter to win the signed Michelle Malkin book. You got a chance. Lots and lots of entries. But I wish I could give everybody a book. I wish I could give everybody something. I just can't. I don't have a budget for the show, and I don't have a staff for the show. So you get a chance. I'm giving everybody a chance. I'll take comfort in that, even though it's of little comfort. I just love giving stuff away. Just love it. All right, like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get to, but we have a couple of sponsors first. So let's talk about Life Change Tea. Joining me now is the man himself, the founder of Life Change Tea, Ronnie McMullen. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm doing good. How are you, Derek?
I am doing great, and it's no small part thanks to Life Change Tea. One thing I've noticed since I've been drinking it and the month I've been drinking it is the energy you feel. You just feel a lot better. I've explained why that is, but you're the creator. Tell us why Life Change Tea brings more energy to your life.
Because when you have toxins inside of your colon, you're in trouble. Let's just say if you're a meat eater, and I'm not knocking anybody that is, but let's just say you're a meat eater. It's 24 to 72 hours for that meat to digest in your colon. And what happens is in that digestive tract, it leaves behind stuff, and that stuff rots. I know it sounds gross, but it rots. So the tea goes through, and all the herbs go, hey, we got to get this stuff out of here. So they do. This is why it's called the tea that makes you go. It's a mild detox, so it's not like you drink the tea, and all of a sudden you're like, bathroom. You know, it's not quite that strong, but it does work on a daily basis, and if you drink it every day, life is good, and you will have more energy.
And for that, I can vouch. Find out for yourself. Go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea, all one word, .com, T-E-A. At checkout, enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, and you get free shipping. Find out what all the fuss is about. Get all that sickness out of your body. Go to getthetea.com. Thanks for calling in, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Once again, that is getthetea.com. Don't forget promo code Derek for free shipping. Love Life Change Tea. Love the company. Love the product. Okay, we've got another one, but we're going to wait a second on that because I'm just looking at the Twitter machine. And I see this is the world that we live in. Again, I know I say it all the time and you think it's insane, but It's true. This world is going absolutely nuts. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary company. You know the people? The dictionary. They just tweeted out a few hours ago, quote, "The non-binary pronoun they has been added to the dictionary." Yes. Now, the left used to love book burnings. Progressives love book burning. You got to get rid of those unpopular thoughts. Can't have unpopular thoughts out there. Thoughts that we don't like, the books must be burned. Germany, think of how many libraries were burned in the 30s. Well, they no longer do mass book burnings. They're burning one book, the dictionary, and they're not burning it all at once. They're burning it one word at a time. Of course, to the fanatical left, this is great news. Redefining of words based on political convenience and expedience of the moment. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted out, quote, "What great news. Shout out to all our non-binary fam in the world and the activists who worked hard to let us celebrate the full spectrum of humanity." Oh, yay. Oh, good Lord. So you click on it and you look at the word they on Merriam-Webster's website. Definition of they. Those ones, those people, animals, or things. Okay, yeah, that's one. Number two, used to refer to people in a general way or to a group of people who are not specified, right? Yeah. Number three, used as with an indefinite third-person singular antecedent. In the example, no one has to go if they don't want to. And now here's the new number four. We're watching. It's like birth. It's like birth. It's like one of the few births that liberals don't want to abort. Number four definition for they. Used to refer to a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. It's a plural, for God's sakes. But they're now making it singular as well. We're watching, you know, for all the talk about Kavanaugh and the alleged bogus claims of sexual assault. We're watching the language be raped right in front of our eyes. And members of Congress are going, oh, this is wonderful. What a great day it is. What a great day. You're now, if we keep going on this trajectory, if you were to be cryogenically frozen, say they put you in a canister right next to Ted Williams' head and Walt Disney's body, and you were woken up in, hell, I would say 50 years, but I think that's probably too slow. I think in 10 years, you likely would not be able to communicate with the few remaining people who speak English because every word will have been redefined or deemed to be offensive to the point that it is unlawful to use any longer. That's the path we're going down. That's the yellow brick road that we're skipping down arm in arm. Oh, we're so progressive. We're taking these words that mean these things and we're changing them and we're deeming other words unacceptable. It is unacceptable to say that word. You misgender pronoun me. We have dead naming. Have you heard about dead naming? Dead naming is a thing. If you were to call Bruce Jenner, or Bradley Manning, I'll say Caitlyn Jenner. Bruce Jenner never did nothing to nobody, just be weird around people. Bradley Manning, I'm going to show as much respect as he showed the national security secrets with which he was entrusted. But if you call Bradley Manning, that can get you banned from social media. If you call Caitlyn Jenner Bruce Jenner, that can get you banned from social media for dead naming. The names that they were born with are dead. They choose to be called something else. Now, if you choose to be called His Royal Highness or His Majesty or whatever, that probably wouldn't fly, but except for that one kid at the University of Michigan who managed to do that. That was genius. But if you want to change your gender, then your name and all things are the entire history of your existence is wiped off the table. Doesn't matter. It's gone forever. And we're all supposed to pretend it never existed. It never existed. If you Google 1976 Olympic decathlon results, the results that come up in Google, right there's a little graphic up at the top. They try and make it so you don't go to any other website. They want to keep you on Google as long as they possibly can. The results list the top three, the medal winners. The bronze medal winner was Mykola Anavilov, whatever, from the Soviet Union. Then Guido Krastenmacher from West Germany. And then right up on top is Caitlyn Jenner, United States. Caitlyn Jenner. Wow. Breaking barriers. The first woman to win an Olympic gold medal against men, competing against men. Because the women don't have a decathlon. It's as if Bruce never existed. And Bruce might as well not have existed. And frankly, I'm not sure our world would be worse off if Bruce had never existed. We wouldn't have the Kardashians. Maybe we'd all be better off if the Kardashians never existed. Were not brought into our consciousness. But of course, the Kardashians were brought into our consciousness through the O.J. Simpson murders. So I probably wouldn't avoid that. But I just find it interesting that you can change your gender and everybody has to pretend that your old gender, your old self, never existed. And now they're redefining the word they to mean one mentally disturbed person or somebody who just desperately wants attention and wants to be difficult. Liberals love keeping people on their toes and correcting everybody. You're misgendering me. You're using the wrong pronoun to refer to me. I only want to be referred to as us. I only want to be referred to as all of us. Let's just go the full nine yards. And there will be a group of progressives who will go, well, all right, then if that's what you want, that's the way it is. That's science. Now, maybe the person's schizophrenic and that has some validity, but short of that, they is not referring to a one person. But we have to pretend now, and the dictionary is going right along with it all because everything is terrible. Everything really is terrible. Let's get on to the rest of the news. I just saw that and I thought, my God, my poor children, the world they're going to grow up in. There's going to be a shitstorm one day. There's going to be absolute hell to pay. There's got to be some kind of, somebody has to stand up to this mob. Theoretically, somebody's going to stand up. A group of people are going to stand up. We're going to take to the streets. We're going to say, we don't care what you want to be called. We'll call you whatever name you want to be called out of politeness, but we're not going to rewrite all of human history and all of our language because you have a narcissist personality. We're not going to do that. We're not going to bow down to you. You got a dick. Go use a urinal. All right. However you want to live in private is up to you. We don't care. Just don't ask us to subsidize it. Oh, speaking of which, I don't know why I didn't plan on talking about this, but the state of California is banning travel to Iowa. Why? Well, because they're horrible people, but also because the Medicaid program for the poor in Iowa doesn't fund gender transition surgery. Not kidding. Now, I don't know how many people from California are going to Iowa in any way, and I'm not sure how many people from California are really wanted in Iowa, to be perfectly honest with you. But this is 2019. The Blaze has the story. California Attorney General Javier Becerra announced a ban on state-funded travel to Iowa on Friday in response to an Iowa law that prohibits Medicaid from covering gender transition surgeries, according to the Sacramento Bee. Iowa becomes the latest addition to a list that also includes Alabama, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas under a 2016 law. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on from there. The Iowa Supreme Court ruled in March 2019 that gender transition surgeries must be covered under Medicaid since the state Civil Rights Act prohibited discrimination or refusal of service to people based on gender identity. So, and this is, by the way, liberals, what democracy looks like. So the Iowa legislature passed and Governor Kim Reynolds signed a bill that specifically excluded gender transition surgeries from Medicaid coverage. Medicaid, for the uninitiated, is a program for the poor to make sure that they're not dying of illness out on the street. If you are really poor, they'll take care of you. If it won't cover a nose job or a boob job or liposuction or whatever, why in the hell should it cover gender transition surgery? Strikes me as if you are suckling the government teat. If you are a parasite on the government dole, you should have bigger things to worry about, like maybe finding a job, maybe improving your lot in life, rather than having your hot dog turned into a bun, or reversing that, however the hell the other direction goes. But to activists, they don't care. They don't care if all trans people are living on the street. They want the policy because they really just want to shove it in the face of people who look at this and go, this is ridiculous. They want the taxpayers to fund the lifestyle choices of everybody. Sue God. Why don't you sue God? If you really believe you were born in the wrong body, sue God. Take it up with them and see how that works out for you. Otherwise, get a damn job that covers this crap, that has health insurance that covers this crap, or save up. Pay for it yourself, all right? But no, California won't be sending anybody to Iowa anytime soon, and the people of Iowa, among them, there was much, much rejoicing. God, I swear to God, I don't know what the hell is going on in this country anymore. Back to the news. Brett Kavanaugh, there is a little update on Brett Kavanaugh. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, one of the members of the Gang of Four from Massachusetts, she has introduced a bill of impeachment against Brett Kavanaugh. She wants to impeach Brett Kavanaugh over the bogus story. Hey, you know what? Believe all women. This woman says nothing happened. Well, I mean, don't believe that woman. Believe other women. How about the two women who accused Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, of raping them? Well, don't believe them either. He's a Democrat, and we can't have that. Remember that story? That kind of went away. Isn't it weird? But they want an impeachment inquiry launched against Brett Kavanaugh. She was on CNN to discuss.
But there is already pushback just even within your own caucus. Congressman Nadler says Democrats' hands are full. Senator Durbin says Kavanaugh impeachment advocates like you need to, quote unquote, get real. Are you disappointed in the lack of enthusiasm from your own party?
Oh, I believe that every member of this caucus and beyond, because this is not a partisan issue. Again, this is an epidemic. And for far too long, we have been a way too tolerant and complicit in perpetuating rape culture. And so I think that everyone is committed in this Democratic caucus to addressing that issue.
But Durbin says we have real, Congresswoman. He says get real. To that you say what?
I say this is the reckoning. And gone are the days we will be complicit and lackadaisical in the fact that this is an epidemic and survivors deserve healing and justice and everyone deserves due process. I've filed this resolution to initiate an impeachment inquiry because we need to get to the truth. And I think that Congress can, we've proven that we can do the work of legislating, of oversight, and initiating investigations. That's what's happening in judiciary right now.
She doesn't give a damn about the truth. She doesn't give a damn about the justice. She doesn't give a damn about reality. She wants to advance a liberal agenda. They want to delegitimize the court. And CNN is giving a little bit of pushback there, but not a lot. It's Democratic Party approved pushback when Nadler and Durbin are saying, no, we're not going to do this. It frees up CNN to be a little bit more, I don't know, freer with their words in criticizing people like this. But she doesn't care. She just wants to plow forward. The story's completely bogus. The so-called victim, who they call a victim. By the way, the authors of that book refer to her as a victim, even though she says she's not a victim. This didn't happen. I have no memory of this. But she's a victim, and she must be treated as a victim. Believe all women. Well, almost all women. These people are insane, and they should be kept away from the levers of power. They should be kept away from the room that houses the levers of power. They should not be let anywhere near any of this crap. They are incredibly dangerous people. And that brings us to our second sponsor. Every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. It's not just President Trump, it's everybody with an R after their name. President Trump has been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for impeachment. They had the impeachment pseudo-inquiry yesterday because they know Congress is their last hope. President Trump needs your support now more than ever. All you got to do, it costs you nothing, takes a second. Text the word daily, D-A-I-L-Y, to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. All you have to do is text daily to 88022. While Democrats and their fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting daily to 88022. Again, be sure to text daily to 88022 today. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Speaking of President Trump, his, at least at this moment, probable opponent, Sniffy Uncle Joe, he had himself another senior moment, shall we say, yesterday while speaking to a group. He's got this plan, $8,000 for child care. He wants to send women back. Liberals are very, very concerned about women not being in the workforce voluntarily. They don't like the idea. They don't want to acknowledge the idea that some women just like to stay home. Some more women, I would say, would prefer to stay home. Maybe that's probably controversial and horribly sexist to say, but I suspect that it's more true than not. If you had the ability, I think a lot of women would like to stay home and raise children. That's just me. I believe in biology, and I was also raised by a stay-at-home mom. She was disabled, but that didn't mean she couldn't work. God knows she worked around the house. But listen to Joe, and he says something in pushing this program to give everybody an $8,000 tax credit to child care. I don't know what planet he's living on where he thinks $8,000 is enough for child care in the cities where he's popular. He's popular in the rich, crowded, liberal cities, New York, California, Los Angeles. $8,000 might get you 3 months of child care. But his numbers are a little screwed up. Not about the money, although those will get screwed up too. See if you catch it in this little ditty here.
You get a tax break for a racehorse, why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs? It would put 720 million women back in the workforce. It would increase the GDP, to sound like a wonk here, by about 0.8%. It would grow the economy.
Did you catch his little math problem there, his little senior moment? It'll put 720 million women back to 720 million, a nation of 330 million people. Maybe Joe Biden is speaking in terms of, since they want open borders, they're just going to confer citizenship on everybody, and there are maybe 750 million women in the world who are looking to get back into the workforce, but they can't. See, what's ironic is most people who want child care, who desperately want child care so that they can go back to work, would be taking a second job mostly to pay for the child care, because child care is so damned expensive. So staying at home is actually financially beneficial to the family, because you're not. I have a friend in D.C. What did he tell me? He was paying like $21,000 a year or $25,000 a year for child care, for daycare for the kid, which is nuts in my book. It's nuts in my book. But $8,000 a year for 720 million people. 720 million women ready to go back into the workforce there. Senior moment for Joe there. Speaking of senior moments and Joe Biden, he's not getting a lot of help from Jimmy Carter these days. The Associated Press writes, weeks shy of his 95th birthday, former President Jimmy Carter said Tuesday he doesn't believe he could have managed the most powerful office in the world at 80 years old. Joe is 76. He'll be 77 at the end of this year, 78 at by the time, if he were to win next year, by the time he was sworn in, he would be 78 years old. Carter, who earlier this year became the longest-lived chief executive in American history, didn't tie his comments to his fellow Democrat running for president, but two leading 2020 candidates, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, would turn 80 during their terms if elected. Biden is 76, Sanders is 78. See, Bernie's crazy. Nobody's sitting around going, is Bernie losing his mind? There's a debate over whether or not Bernie ever had one, but nobody's sitting there thinking, you know, Bernie's kind of slipping. He's lost a gear. He's no longer got that extra little gear. He's kind of slowing down. Bernie's not slowing down. He's just as crazy as he ever was. Maybe being crazy doesn't put that much of a strain on the brain or what have you. But it's different with Joe. Joe is gaff, 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 forgetting, stumbling, not remembering, stopping answering one question in the middle of an answer and answering another question. That is the sign. I was watching 60 Minutes on Sunday, and there was something about early stage frontal lobe dementia or something like that, where people are, there was a guy who was 40 years old who was in full blown dementia. It was terrible, awful disease. Not saying that's what Joe Biden has. I'm just saying that some people can live to 100 years old and never miss a step, and other people they lose a step much earlier than that. And that's Joe Biden's problem, is it seems as though he's losing a step. Now, he's promised to release his, he's taking a physical, and he will release the results of his physical from his doctor and so on and so forth. And nobody's saying he's becoming decrepit and needs to use a walker or anything like that. It's in the brain. He's lost a step. He's lost maybe a couple of steps. He's sitting there talking about 720 million people in the country. It's more likely that he was mixing up the number of women in the country versus the amount of money his $8,000 tax credit would cost. One thing I don't like about tax credits, look, I'll take every tax credit you throw my way, but from a conceptual standpoint, how about we just figure out what the government needs and go from there? And I'm talking about not just what it needs to cover its bill. I'm talking about what it actually needs to be spending on. I'm talking about cutting the government. The left and the right, sadly, use the tax code as a means of control, rewarding the behavior they like, punishing the behavior they don't like, nudging people in other directions that they want them to go, whether they go or not, sometimes forcibly putting people over there. It's kind of funny because they write this overly complicated tax code, and they're all responsible for it, except for the people who advocate either a national sales tax or a flat tax. They're all responsible for creating this monster program called our tax code. And then when somebody finds a way to, because there are people out there who read it, not many people, but some people out there read it, and they find little surprises in the tax code, I'll call them. And then people start, mostly people who can afford, the accountants who can afford to go through the tax code, find these little nooks and crannies. And then they say, oh my God, they're using this loophole. It's an outrageous loophole. They're tax cheats. They're using this loophole. You wrote the damn code. You changed the tax code without knowing what it said in the first place. You changed it because you wanted to mold society in whatever way you wanted. And in doing so, you ended up creating this vacuum someplace else that somebody else took advantage of. Or in a lot of cases, they just snuck it in there. They put it in there as a payoff to a constituent. And then they go, oh, these tax loopholes, they must be stopped. There are no loopholes out there. People wrote these laws. They deliberately wrote these laws. If they didn't think of something to put in there to protect or guard against whatever, that's not someone taking advantage of a loophole. That's shoddy legislating. That's the elected officials of this country doing a crappy job and somebody taking advantage of it. They're not cheating. It's not a loophole. It's right there. It's the law. If you don't like it, change the law. But stop trying to use the tax code to manipulate how people behave. Leave people the hell alone. If the government did just what it's supposed to do, constitutionally, and I know we're well past that and it's a dream world that we're never going to get back to, but if you just did that and lived within your means instead of doing all this social engineering crap, our taxes would be much lower. I mean, it's too late. The horse has left the barn on this. When you got approaching $23 trillion in debt, $100 trillion in unfunded liability that they don't count as debt, but it's coming due just the same, there's no way to sensibly pull ourselves out of this nosedive. It's going to one day soon. It is going to get incredibly painful in this country. The government is going to come for just about everything you own. I guarantee you, as right now on September 18th, 2019, that within 5 years, Democrats will be pushing federalizing 401ks. You just wait for it. You just watch it. The argument is going to, especially if the stock market dips, well, we need to protect people against this. A lot of people have lost a lot of their retirement. The government must step in here. We can guarantee we will manage your money. We will make sure that you have a guaranteed income when they'll turn it into Social Security Part 2, because they're going to need the money. And that, while that will be politically wildly unpopular, it will be much more politically feasible than instituting the types of reforms in the entitlement programs that are needed to keep them solvent. It will be another kick the can down the road moment. This time it'll be with a bigger foot, and it'll kick the can a little bit further, but the can will still be just down the road. It will still come due. The piper will always need to be paid. But anyway, I'm straying off topic. I'm just talking about, I don't know how I got there. But Joe Biden is not being done any favors by having Jimmy Carter come out and saying, I couldn't handle the presidency at 80 years old. And he's still, you know, hammering and building houses or whatever the hell he does. But we do have new polling numbers from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, which I've always found to be a weird partnership, considering the Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp, which owns Fox News Channel. But what are you going to do? It's got Joe Biden in the lead still. It's of Democrats, a national poll, at 31% for Uncle Joe. Or maybe that's his IQ. Not really sure. Elizabeth Warren is in second alone with a nice little jump up. She's up to 25% with Bernie Sanders taking the bronze way back at 14%. Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are eating off the same plate. They're the real committed socialists out there, are their fans. And then further down the also-rans, Buttigieg at 7, Kamala Harris 5, Andrew Yang at 4, which is kind of a bit of surprise, and then Klobuchar and Booker deadlocked at 2. What's interesting here is this was taken after the debate, where, you know, who was it that got all of the attention at the debate? It was Beto, who made a big showing. He said, hell yeah, we're going to take your guns. Hell yeah, we're going to come in there. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He was pandering. He got the applause lines. He thought that he had, after El Paso, after his rebranding himself as the candidate who calls everybody racist and everything racist and wants to have a forced confiscation, which he conveniently calls buyback, of semi-automatic rifles in the country, which are responsible for fewer deaths than hammers every year. He was thinking that was going to be his way in. Well, back in July, the same poll had Beto at 2%. Now, Beto is at 1%. He lost 50% of his support. There is just no appetite for Beto O'Rourke. Other people at 1% include Julian Castro, Bill de Blasio, Michael Bennett, the governor of Montana, John Delaney, Tom Steyer, the billionaire, Tulsi Gabbard, and John Delaney. Did I mention John Delaney? And that's it. So you're seeing a situation here where the field is really starting to form. I suspect in the next couple of weeks that
Bullock, or no, Steve Bullock. Bennett is a senator. Steve Bullock is the governor of Montana. He pulls a solid 0%. Empty set. Good job. I suspect we're probably looking at the end of Beto's campaign, unless he decides to dip into his father-in-law's rather deep pockets or his own deep pockets. It's just not happening for him. Tulsi Gabbard, I know there are a lot of conservatives out there who think that she's wonderful because she sometimes stands up to Democrats. It's just not going to happen for Tulsi Gabbard. She is, it's over for her. Tom Steyer could stick around because he can write his own check. But what's really interesting here is Joe Biden is up in this poll from 26% back in July to 31%. So somehow in the last 2 months, Joe Biden has gained ground in the Democratic Party, which could be the also-rans. I thought that their support would go to Elizabeth and Bernie or maybe a Buttigieg. I thought that Joe Biden was kind of maxed out, which would have been enough in a big enough field to pull out a victory. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe people are going to Joe. Maybe after flirting with the Hickenloopers of the world and the Swalwells of the world, nobody flirts with Eric Swalwell, not even his wife, that they would go searching for another fringe candidate. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Elizabeth Warren is up from 19%, so she's up 6 percentage points. But so is Joe. Well, Joe is up 5 percentage points. Bernie is about even. And Buttigieg is actually even. Somebody who lost significant support is Kamala Harris. After July, remember, she was the flavor of the month back then. Ooh, she took on Joe Biden about buzzing in that first debate. She was up to 13% back in July. And now she's back down to 5%, which is not good at all. So that's the Democratic field. And no matter what they, like I said, nobody wants to be the one to take out Joe. Nobody wants to be the one to stand up. Cory Booker and Julian Castro, out of desperation, kind of stood up and said, Joe, you're a little old, you're forgetting things. But Julian Castro was wrong, and Cory Booker was just rude, and he did it on CNN after the debate, so nobody saw it anyway. Nobody wants to be the person to give the big campaign speech repeated ad nauseum as they travel to the primary states, saying Joe Biden is too old to be president, Joe Biden isn't left-wing enough to be president, Joe Biden isn't this, whatever. They don't want to go after him hard and take him out. They don't want to be that person. First of all, Bernie couldn't do it. Joe Biden is too old and white. Well, you're older, and you're also white. Oh, well, never mind. Elizabeth Warren can't do it, because if she did, people would see that as just desperation to try and find some way to take over the lead. And it would turn off, I suspect, a lot of her voters and probably have them bleeding over to Bernie Sanders. Pete Buttigieg is too busy judging Christians and telling them how they are not sufficiently Christian, which I don't know what Bible he's working out of, but maybe it's a new one written by Merriam-Webster recently. Kamala Harris kind of tried to do it, and maybe on her way out the door she'll do it. But everybody else in this field, if you're the one who takes out Joe Biden, you're not going to get Joe Biden supporters. You're also going to piss off a large swath of the Democratic Party power structure, which has a lot of investment in Joe, shall we say. They will make a fortune. People will become rich off this presidential campaign in both parties. And Joe Biden has the people in positions of power sort of already counting the money they're going to make from the campaign. If you are the one who suicide bombs Joe Biden's chances for 2020 and really hammers him on the gaffes and the history and the too old to do this, and it does real damage, when you decide to run for president in 2024, that power structure is going to remember that their bank accounts are significantly smaller because of what you did 5 years earlier. So no one wants to do it. That's why it's the death by a thousand cuts. Everybody will make little comments. Everybody will make little cracks, say little things, take little jabs. And if they happen to be the last jab or the last cut that takes out Joe Biden, fine. But if you go out there and you land a haymaker and take out Joe and your fingerprints are all over it, that's not going to bode well for your future in the Democratic Party. So I'm not really sure how this is going to shake out. Still a lot of time, but it's very interesting to see that all the conventional wisdom isn't really playing out the way it normally would. But enough about the party politics and all of that stuff. Like I said, there is other news I want to get to. Remember the name Ed Buck? Ed Buck. He was the big Democratic donor out in California that had he's gay, and he had two young black men in 2 years overdose in his apartment. I always thought it was weird. He's a very wealthy guy, big donor, but he's got this West Hollywood apartment that seems to use as a drug den. I don't know what the hell, some rich Democratic donor who is very close to Adam Schiff and has pictures with Hillary Clinton, which you have to pay a lot of money to get a picture with Hillary Clinton. Big donor to all of them. He's finally been indicted. The Channel 4 out there, the local ABC team, has the story. Felony charges were filed Tuesday against Democratic political activist and noted donor Ed Buck after two men overdosed on illegal drugs and died in his apartment in West Hollywood, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office said. Buck was charged with operating a drug house and providing methamphetamine to a man who survived an overdose September 11th. Buck, through his attorney, Seymour Amster, has repeatedly denied he had a role in the deaths of Gemmell Moore in July 2017 and Timothy Dean in January 2019, and said he would fight the wrongful death and civil rights allegations again in a civil lawsuit earlier this year. He's essentially the gay Jeffrey Epstein. You don't hear much about Ed Buck. There are some liberal activists out there, particularly in the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community, who have been mad that Democrats haven't been more vocal in their disavowing of Buck, and a lot of them have kept the money that he's donated to them. But now it looks as though he's going to face his day in court. It'll be interesting to see if he ends up with another sweetheart deal the way that Jeffrey Epstein did, or if he can name certain people, whether he ends up in a different way that Jeffrey Epstein did. But yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up because it took long enough, didn't it? Suddenly now they're moving on him. How many people have to die of an overdose in your apartment before you at orgies before somebody says, hey, you know what? There's something weird going on here. Apparently the magic number is 2.5 and the over under is 2.5. NBC News. There's a big, big, big climate protest coming up this Friday. I don't know if you know about this, but Greta Thunberg or Turnberg or Turdburglar or whatever her name is in from the Scandinavia area. She sailed across the ocean to come over here and partake in the big climate summit that is coming up in New York. Always cracks me up. Why don't these climate summits take place on video chats? All these people want to pay or want to travel, all expenses paid, to exotic and expensive locales so they can talk about how you should not travel to exotic locales. Well, the walkout, the strike, the climate strike, New York City has okayed. They've granted permission to all 1.1 million students in their school system to skip school that day to participate in the climate strike. Last Friday, we had Michelle Malkin on the show. Michelle Malkin was in town because her book had just come out. She was also in town to participate in a pro-ICE rally in where I live, Montgomery County. The schools, it was a couple of blocks from the schools. It was at the courthouse or the county seat, whatever the hell it's called, in Montgomery County in Rockville, Maryland. About 2.5-3 blocks away is the Rockville High School. And The administration there said explicitly that students would not be, normally they're allowed apparently to go out to lunch. They can go to a fast food restaurant or wherever they feel like going off campus if they choose to. But because of this horrible rally by these white nationalists, led by the most famous white nationalist of all, the Asian woman named Michelle Malkin, the school was not going to allow children to leave campus that day for their own safety. The left was coming out. They were going to protest, and it could get violent. So for the sake of the children, they had to be imprisoned. I don't know if there were cages or not. But they weren't granted permission to go and participate. Yet last year, remember the March for Our Lives, Boss Hogg and his little gang of gun grabbers and would-be little fascists? When that happened down in Washington, D.C., the very same school said, well, if we will excuse absences if children want to go down there and participate in that protest. They allowed it. They encouraged it. They enabled it. Now, walking 2.5 blocks seems a hell of a lot safer to me if you want to participate, if you wanted to participate in that ICE protest. Than it does taking a 45-minute subway ride downtown, well off campus. Yet the school district was cool with one and not cool with the other. Well, the same sort of thing happens all across the country. And now New York City says you kids can have the day off of school to go and protest. Axios reports school districts are debating what position to take after New York City announced that 1.1 million public school students could skip classes without penalties to join the Global Youth Climate Strike Friday. Isn't that neat? Now, it's really easy to get kids to skip school when you give them permission. This is about padding numbers. It happens all the time. It happened with the gun grabbers. School districts around Maryland and Virginia, where the suburbs around Washington, D.C., they're all deep, deep blue. They're very, very liberal. And they all said, you can have the day off to go down. This is an important issue that affects you kids. You can go down there and do whatever you want. You know, all the we're up to like 9 rapes in Montgomery County in the last month by illegal aliens. That doesn't affect students at all. So they can't go. Most of those victims, by the way, were underage girls. But no, there's no permission granted to go and protest that. But when it comes to liberal causes, the floodgates are open. And they need to pad the numbers. If you tell kids you can skip school, how many kids will skip school? All you got to do is go and march with a bunch of students. Well, any normal kid is going to go, hell yeah, I don't care about this. I don't think about this. I'm not active or concerned about any of this crap. But I can get a day off of school and I can go hang out downtown or here or there and walk around and have a party with my friends. This is going to be great. Let's do this thing. That's how the left manages to turn out these large numbers at these things. It's a scam, and it's a scam perpetrated by the education system, and it's a scam perpetrated by the mainstream media. So that brings us to NBC News. If you Google NBC News climate confessions, the first thing, at least what came up for me, is this link to the NBC News website. It's got this big graphic of the planet, and then there's an apple core and a plastic water bottle and a steak. They're all really bad drawings. And the banner says, Climate Confessions. Even those who care deeply about the planet's future can slip up now and then. Tell us, where do you fall short in preventing climate change? Do you blast the AC? Throw out half your lunch? Grill a steak every week? Share your anonymous confessions with NBC News. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. This is a real website from a supposed news organization. And then you have two options. You can write your confession or you can view confessions. Ooh, let's view some confessions. And the categories, by the way, to submit your confessions. I don't know if they're requiring penance based upon your sin, but you can confess based on plastics, meat, energy, food waste, paper, or transportation. So you scroll down to the confessions right there under transportation. I fly to see my son on the West Coast. I live on the East. Like, oh my God, you're Hitler. You're at least Mussolini. How dare you go and visit your own child? Why don't you just move out there or force your child to move back? Now, some of these things are written by people who are obviously, they're computer generated, which ones come up, and they're not all screened, shall we say. So they just come up randomly. So this next one under transportation says, electric cars, they're unfeasible and impractical. That's the climate confession. So this is being, it's not spammed. This is being trolled by people who look at this and think this is insane. Under energy, we have another climate confession. We spent $25,000 on grid-connected solar only to realize that due to high monthly fee to connect to grid, system will never break even. Probably not what NBC News was thinking about. Says, this is under plastics. I use single-use plastics. You know what I don't do? Manufacture them on a large scale like corporations do. This is a look into the liberal mind. I don't do anything. I'm not going to do anything. It's evil corporations that are all the problems. They're probably throwing their plastic bags in local waterways. Under plastics again, we quit recycling because we learned it's all going to a landfill anyway. Oh, there are a bunch of people here who wish they were vegan. There's another person who wishes a don't commute for work, but do RV for a few days per year. That's the confession. Confess your sins and all shall be forgiven. It's like a freaking, this is a religion. This is the new religion. I mean, ultimately, God is the government, and this is like a sect of that. I want to see the world. I fly is a confession under transportation. I admit I use far too many plastic grocery bags while my reusable ones sit in the trunk of the car. Under energy, my husband isn't happy unless it's 60 degrees in our house all year long. We also have a heated cat house for the outside cats. That's actually half the year, depending on where they live and if they have to heat a cat house outside. It seems like the winter months, they're quite energy efficient. To be perfectly honest, if you're keeping your house down at 60 degrees in the winter, you're not, the furnace probably doesn't kick on all that often. So I have not recycled ever. This is the new left, and government is their god. Here's another one under meat. My vegetarian phase lasted literally 10 days. Lasted 10 days. That's it. I screw it after that. I'm not really interested. Another one under meat. I wish I had been born a vegan, and then maybe it would be easier. I can't seem to give up meat. I still buy convenience foods containing beef, despite knowing many sourced from Brazil and cause rainforest destruction for grazing. NBC News, ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Corporation is fully embraced the climate cult. I'm going to make a prediction right now. And it is currently 2:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, early Wednesday morning. On Friday, when this so-called worldwide strike, and by the way, when I talk about those New York city kids, 1.1 million getting permission to skip school on Friday for this climate protest, they are trying to organize these things all across the country. So no matter where you live, while you shake your head about what's going on in New York, there is likely, if you have school-aged children, likely very stiff pressure on your kids to do the same, to participate in wherever they happen to be going to school. No matter where you are in the country, you cannot escape this liberalism. It is like the plague. It just spreads across the world. So while your school district may not be granting permission, they might be, you might want to check up on that, but while they may not be granting permission, there is a possibility that somebody is trying to pressure your kids, be it other students or even administrators or teachers, trying to pressure kids to skip school on Friday because this issue is so important. So you might want to keep an eye out for that. Out in Arizona, they have a senior senator named Kyrsten Sinema. She beat Martha McSally in the election out there, Democrat, and then McSally was appointed to the Senate. So they're both in the Senate. Both ended up winning. McSally has to win re-election next time, and she's just a bad candidate. So hopefully she becomes better as a candidate. But Kyrsten Sinema is a progressive lefty. She wore like a pink tutu to an anti-war protest, so on and so forth. She was the liberal darling and ran as a serious, serious left-wing progressive, but she did say that she would do her best to work across the aisle. Democrats nominated her. She won. And she came to Washington, D.C., and I got to say, I'm surprised at how bipartisan she has been as a senator. She's also a bi-senator, so maybe that has something to do with it. But she's a very attractive woman, and she has voted for Trump nominees. She has stated and voted for some sensible policy positions. She's been kind of a surprise and a pleasant one in the United States Senate. In the time when everybody seems to be saying we need bipartisanship in this time of divisiveness, she is bringing it. And that has put her on the wrong side of the progressive left in Arizona. Arizona Central has the story. Kyrsten Sinema is facing a censure vote from the Arizona Democratic Party brought by progressives who deem her politics too accommodating to President Donald Trump at the expense of democratic values. Sinema built a moderate political brand during her three terms in the House of Representatives in Arizona, which has extended to her early days in the Senate. According to the 538 tracker, she has opposed Trump while in the Senate 81% of the time. In the House, she supported Trump's agenda 54% of the time. While Sinema's political centrism has earned her Republican support, it has grated on progressives, some of whom silently protested her during a state fundraising dinner in downtown Phoenix. Democratic state committeemen will consider the resolution on Saturday at the Arizona Democratic Party's quarterly meeting. Now, it's meaningless. A censure vote. Oh, what does that mean from the party? Who cares? But it shows how even 19% of the time voting with Republicans is a bridge too far. Yet these are the people whose political or presidential candidates are up on stage talking about how we need to work together. We need to come together on all these liberal issues so we get everything we want and you get nothing in return. They cite in particular her vote to confirm Trump's nominee, David Bernhardt, to serve as Secretary of the Interior, and her vote to confirm William Barr as U.S. Attorney General. They also cited her resistance to join Democrats in trying to reinstate net neutrality rules. This is nuts. This is who these people are. I tell you all the time, they demand absolute purity. They make the Nazis' Nuremberg racial purity laws seem squishy, seem iffy, seem tolerant. If you are their 99.99% friend, you are their 0.01% enemy. They're going after Kyrsten Sinema. She's progressive, but she happens to do some things that are bipartisan occasionally. If she's not pure enough, who the hell is? No one, ever. Certainly not you, and they'll come after you, too. North of the border, good Lord. Everybody thinks, oh, Canada's this wonderland. I grew up across the river in Detroit from Canada. There's something funny going on over there. The Toronto Star has this op-ed. It's by a guy called Andrew Wheeler. Chick-fil-A is ideologically opposed to my existence, says Andrew Wheeler. That's the headline. I guarantee you, Andrew Wheeler, Chick-fil-A doesn't give a crap that you exist. They couldn't care less. They don't spend a second of the day thinking about what you are, that you are, or what you sleep with. But this is the mindset of the left. I told you, it is not confined to the United States of America. Progressives everywhere are insane. He writes, "This past weekend I saw something that made me unexpectedly queasy. A young woman slurping a soda out of a fast food cup. It upset me because it was a Chick-fil-A cup." Yes, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is an anti-LGBTQ2. The number two, he's added, I don't know what the hell the two stands for, and I don't care. Organization. Not just because the founder publicly opposed same-sex marriage. He believed in the biblical definition of marriage, which doesn't exist. Yes, Andrew Wheeler sounds like a theologian, doesn't he? But because company profits are donated to charities that oppress and marginalize queer people, especially queer youth. Especially queer youth. Good God. Especially. Young queer people are unusually vulnerable to depression and suicidal thoughts. They often struggle to find support in their own communities and even in their own families. They're not miserable because they're queer. They're miserable because the stigmatization of queerness by family, church, and society has left them lonely and ostracized. They're miserable because people will not accept and love them, and because the people they should be able to turn to are often most likely to harass, harm, and abuse them. Dun, dun, dun! Again, is it 1950? Is it 1950? Because if it's 1950, I'm going to buy a bunch of packs of baseball cards and leave them sealed for 40 years so I can make an absolute fortune. LGBTQ2 activists protested Chick-fil-A's opening on Friday, but people were happy to cross the protest line. Some also tried to tell the protesters that they weren't bad people. A lady yelled, "You think I'm homophobic? I have gay friends." One man told me he voted for Trudeau, a smirking guy. He's the Prime Minister of Canada. A smirking guy hiding behind large sunglasses insisted that McDonald's is just as bad. "I've devoted my life to advocating for media that allows queer kids to see themselves represented. It's important to me as someone who knows the struggles of growing up queer and someone who took heart lessons of love and kindness from my Christian upbringing. The folks at Chick-fil-A took a different lesson. Buy a meal from them, and they'll use your money to increase suffering of queer kids." Somebody wrote this, and then an editor said, the world needs to know. The world must know this. "We know that moral purity is impossible in a capitalist society." Yes, that's why they don't like capitalism. They can't force people to act the way that they want them to act. "Every week you're spending money in ways that harm the environment, spread political strife, and empower the greedy and corrupt. We all make difficult choices." No, we don't. Or at least the choices we make, nobody cares about. They're not difficult. "This one is difficult. I will not support a company that is ideologically opposed to my existence and that uses the money spent there to campaign against my existence. If I really want fried chicken, there are more than a dozen places to go within a 10-minute walk of Chick-fil-A. Downtown Toronto is the Vatican City of fried chicken. Of course, people are not just going to Chick-fil-A to eat fried chicken. They're eating fried chicken spitefully." That's right. Yeah, I would like the waffle fries, a Sprite, and a spiteful chicken sandwich. Now, extra spite. Can you put the spite on the side? And can I get an extra helping of spite? I really want to get it in there. I want all the spite in the world. I want to read that part again. "Of course, these people are not just going to Chick-fil-A to eat fried chicken. They're eating fried chicken spitefully. They're defiantly standing in line with all the other free thinkers because they've been asked not to. They know that going to Chick-fil-A hurts queer people, but they've never thought much about queer people before, and they're not going to start now. It's a strange form of identity politics where the identity is a-hole. the line to get in Chick-fil-A is the a-hole pride parade. There's a joke there. A big joke that could easily be made about the a-hole pride parade and the LGBTQ community. It's a pain in the ass. I'm not going to make it. We're never going to chase Chick-fil-A out of town. In Donald Trump's America, it's a huge success. The number three restaurant chain in the country. It's going to be huge in Toronto, too. It's because it's delicious. Upsetting a whole bunch of whiny liberals drum circling outside is just an added bonus. The first location is on the edge of Queer Village on the route of the Pride Parade, but other locations will follow. We can't shut it down, but if we make enough noise and enough people stay away, we might convince it to change its practices and stop hurting queer kids. What about queer chickens? Where's the concern for queer chickens, I ask you? The left is absolutely insane. They're all insane. The media, again, as I'm telling you, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from these people. The liberal mob and the fake news already been exonerated. That's why you need to sign up for the text messages. Just text daily at 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. Cut out the middleman. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from the president himself. Be the first to know when Trump merchandise is available, and you'll be able to give key input on issues shaping the 2020 campaign. They're going to ask you for your thoughts and implement them and incorporate them into the campaign. All you got to do to get this, costs you nothing. Text daily, DAILY, to 88022. Remember when Joe Biden couldn't spit out his text number at the end of that debate? Well, I just spit it out. 88022. Democrats have the fake news media. They spent the last 2 years focusing on witch hunts. President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting all the news directly from the source. Text daily to 88022. Again, daily. Don't forget to add daily to 88022. That's all you got to add. Just daily, and you'll be signed up. This was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again, as is this show. Sadly, so many Americans are not at all interested in making America great again. They think it was never great in the first place. We know differently. And we tell them every time. Don't forget to email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. If you have any questions, comments, complaints about the program, go ahead and do that. If you want to enter to win the signed copy of Michelle Malkin's book, Open Borders, Inc., send it to that email address with something about the book in the subject line, and you shall be entered. That is all the time we have, more than the time we have. But now that we have sponsors, I promise you an hour of content. I want to make sure that you get at least an hour of content. So you're, whatever the sponsors take up, you'll still get an hour of me rambling. I'm just a giver, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure the Michelle Malkin entries are in by 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. If that changes, I'll let you know. But don't count on it. Have a great Wednesday, Friday. Can't come fast enough. I'll see you tomorrow.
I say this is the reckoning. And gone are the days we will be complicit and lackadaisical in the fact that this is an epidemic and survivors deserve healing and justice.